Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome back tonight and any guests from the community that are here as well. We'd like to call this regular budget meeting together at 5:30. It's actually 5:31, I guess, change. And so we'd like to call order. So we'll start to my right here.
Connie Bruce, present.
Joe Martinez, present.
John Cameron, present.
Frank Schultz, present.
Dennis Scott, present.
Kitty Shields, present.
Michael Harper, present.
Don Meyer, present.
Brian Earl's present. That's good. And so I guess we established a quorum. We have all the members that were elected to be on the budget committee today. Do we need to do anything besides with that? Do we need that motion or anything?
Nope, that's good. Maybe just if we can acknowledge that Craig Heaton is absent by prior arrangement.
Okay.
He won't be joining us tonight.
So we make a note that Craig
Heaton
is not here by prior arrangement. So we can begin with the Pledge of Allegiance. Would somebody like to lead us in that?
Please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. So on our agenda, the very first, and I'm sure for many, the most important thing is the community discussion and decision on community funding requests, which we heard last night. And we have two categories to pull from, unrestricted or tourism dollars. And in some cases, they may come from both. On the budget, both is $15,000 a piece, correct?
That's what we have in the line items for each category.
So we need to decide how that money will look, and then also maybe a little reserve for the city council to go throughout the year to work with if other good opportunities come with. So being that the case, you were given last night a packet with several funding request applications. And so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, plus we have the Lapine Radio Station and the Frontier Days, which was going to be, we were going to look at combining those for next year in a line item for a bigger marketing plan. So we have those plus the ones that were in the line item already. And that's on, which page is that for them to look at?
59.
So if you want to look at page 59, that might be a good resource for you to kind of have an idea as we go through that thing. And then also the other thing was, they passed out last year's for you. So if you kind of look, if you kind of want to look at that, what happened last year, and so you know what other things kind of happened out there and what expenses were authorized as kind of the guideline. Did you say 59, Tony?
Yes.
And the rodeo and Frontier Days didn't make it.
On the board?
It's not on the board. We can put that on the board, or if all of you just want to have a discussion in regards to the $12,000 that was put in that line item, that's one way to do it. Historically, in years past, at least the years I've been here, we've actually had more funding requests, and the line items in the tourism promotion and the unrestricted were less. So we have the opposite this year. We have a higher line item in there and less funding requests at this point. So usually Ashley would facilitate and track how much money we were taking out of those line items. But given the amount that was requested, I don't think we need to worry about that. I think it's more all of you just discussing and engaging on each request and deciding what level you feel is appropriate.
So I think for the ease of discussion, I think since the 4th of July markings already in the line item, we could discuss that and maybe do that more quickly. And because that's something that's been funded and now it's going to be one category, I think for ease we could just make sure if that's the number that everybody's comfortable with, the $12,000 that was put in there for the bulk. And then we can move on to maybe the harder ones, which are the individual ones that were given. So any discussion on the 4th of July marketing?
Well, I think moving it from 10,000 separately to 12,000 jointly is a good idea. I think it'll allow them one, it'll allow them to market together instead of separately, and two, it'll allow them a decent amount of marketing dollars in larger areas that they've been unable to reach or spend much money in. So I'm in favor personally.
Is there anybody else that is opposed or is in agreement?
I gotta go along with Connie and thank Corey for taking the lead on that. Other organizations have been trying to get those two organizations together for God knows how long for this very reason of funding. So definitely in favor of it, and Corey, thank you for taking that on and making it come to where it's at today. That's, in my eyes, a big accomplishment.
So I guess the only question I have is, how do you think that's going to work? Are you going to, like, bring them together in the winter next time and kind of see how they're coming and then evaluate, like, because they're going to come to the board with some ideas, I'm assuming, or come to you with some ideas?
I would expect them to come to us, yeah, over the winter, fall or winter, and propose, or even in spring for that matter, and propose what their advertising plan, their joint advertising plan is. And then they can show us essentially invoices for that, or quotes for the advertising dollars, and we could provide the monies in that way. I'll defer to the council when that time comes. I think it'd make a lot of sense to just invite them back and have them come to a council meeting for 10 minutes or whatever it may be and just check in and be open and communicate and transparent.
Yeah, I think that you need to do exactly that, though, is invite them back and tell them those are kind of our expectations rather than just assume that they're going to show up and
right.
do it.
Right.
Oh. We know how well that works.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and their combined strength of the advertising dollars going over a larger area and having advertising both at the same time, that's definitely going to improve their advertising ability.
Yep, I like it.
Yeah.
It makes the dollars go farther.
Yeah. Yeah. I think having them come back, I think they should definitely in the winter come to you and at least begin to be able to formulate an idea, because I'd hate to see some disagreements or not, you know, cohesiveness in that decision, you know, about the how we're going to go forward with this. And I think to have that, to know in the winter that they've come together, made a plan, begin to make a plan, formulate it, and that it's going forward would be helpful, because you sure hate to find out in the spring that it's not going well.
Yeah.
About, you know, how that plan's going to look. Because it gets to be a little late in you know, March and April when you're talking about an event in July when you have to have a plan.
Yeah, you want to see the teamwork actually working.
Yeah.
I'd like to see, with all of these, some sort of spreadsheet, like where this 12,000 is going.
Yeah,
you know, like
a report.
Well, advertising some sort of report, and that goes along with all of these.
Before, after, like the you get what I'm saying?
Well, starting this year, starting next year, say.
Okay.
You know, this year is too late.
Yeah.
Next year, 12,000. Just, I'd like them to know up front to keep track of where that 12,000 is being spent.
They can show us quotes.
To
show us,
what radio station, where, what.
How much it's getting, how much you're buying.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And ultimately, you're only going to pay an invoice anyway, so, right? I mean, that's the check and balance, right?
Yeah, there's a couple ways to do it. I would think if they showed the invoice and then it looked good, we could transfer the money to them and then they could pay the invoice.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be a little more cumbersome to expect them to pay for it up front and then to come to us for like a reimbursement.
Yeah.
That might be more of a challenge.
And this is truly going to just be for a marketing plan. So if they have other needs, they're going to come just like the individual group, correct?
That was the thought process. Yeah, moving forward. If they needed an extra 1,000 here for whatever it may be, that they would need to come back and make a pitch and make an ask. And
So truly all this TRT funds that they're going to pay for is truly going to be a marketing plan of some sort. So whatever, it comes out to $11,500, that's what you're going to pay?
Yes, on a plan that's outside of the area to try to bring folks here. Yeah.
Okay.
Would it be too much to ask on these requests that when they make a proposed amount, that they actually itemize that proposal and then submit afterwards how it was expended, so you can see, how it's used?
That's the best way. That's what we should be.
Sometime we're going to discuss this form.
Yeah.
We've got to revamp this form, and that will be part of it, I would hope. Mm. It's like, detail where this money's going.
Well, and I think where we have the request that if they've asked for sought funding from the city of Lapine in the past, yes, and then how was it spent? You know, a detailed description of how that money. So that even though we can't start the new form until next year, they can still submit what we gave them this year on next year's request.
Because, you know, years past, 500, 500, 500, now we're getting 2,000, 2,500, 10,000, 12,000. I mean,
it's real
getting up there now.
And I will say.
Well, and at the council level, we'll have to discuss that.
Yeah. And I would say for the council members, you know, it just is a heat. I'm not here every day and I'm not here doing the daily business. But there's been some instances where, and I don't want to point fingers, I'm not going to say organization, but there's some organizations out there that, in my opinion, that haven't always done a great job with the resources they've been given. And, you know, that's something we should always be very mindful of when we're giving public dollars out. Are they doing good with that money, you know? You know,
very right.
So, yeah. I mean, and I, like I said, how you monitor that is a whole different, you know, that's unfortunately something that the council and the city staff have to worry about. But I mean, so is everybody fine with the $12,000? Do we want to move forward with that portion? Can we eliminate that and say that we're going to move forward with that portion of it?
Yeah, I'm good.
I'm good.
So
I'm
good. If can we just have a raise a hand if you're for for that particular item?
Aye.
Okay. So we're all in favor. So we have a motion to move forward with that portion of the line item. So now we have the individual ones that were before us, and so I think was it the band of brothers or sisters that came?
Yeah.
Okay. And so they were asking $500 for their parade, and from what I understand, this is definitely unrestricted funds, and that comes out of the line item that says unrestricted. And that's the line item that says community fund unrestricted, correct?
Yes.
There's $15,000 in that fund, and this would be $500. And they served over 300 people, it appears, and gave out some different stuff. And this year they're going to try to work with the 11th hour, was it the 11th hour, 11 minute? They're going to work in conjunction with that, sounds like, to try to make it a better event. So are we inclined to have any discussion on this particular one, $500?
I think it's a reasonable request, and I think that it's a great use of $500. And they do an amazing job of putting on the parade and the chilling feed, and they work really hard to make it a community event. So
I know last year we tried to talk them into applying for more.
Yeah,
we did.
But they never did, so they're being very conservative, I think.
Yeah.
And I do think that they're being very fiscally sound with it. I mean, $500 is not a lot of money, and if you can do the job for that, that's probably reasonable. So, do we
even came to the city and asked about when they should do it and stuff like that, so it's always nice to coordinate with us like they did.
Yeah.
I made some suggestions, and they followed through and honored some of those, which was kind of nice.
I think we need to motion that Jake needs to be in the parade, though.
Yeah, exactly. So we have a motion to accept the Band of Brothers, Sisters request for $500.
I move we accept that request.
So a motion by Mayor Dennis Scott, and second by Council Don Dreyer. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Unanimous, passes. So that one's done. The next one is the Pine Recreational District Foundation. And they're requesting $2,500 in support of the music in the park.
I suggest that we wait until they've had a successful event this year before we decide on whether or not we're going to give them any additional money for next year.
Okay. Since we already gave them $2,500.
Since we just gave them $2,500.
Can we wait to actually approve that and to see what?
So could we ask them to come back after the event and talk to the city council?
The process would be they would come to the city council instead of the budget committee as a whole, and they would go through a very similar process. They'd submit a funding request form and come before council, and make a presentation and a pitch and go from there.
I mean, especially this 3-year thing, it's like, come on now.
Yeah.
We haven't had one event yet.
So has anybody else got a different opinion out there at the table?
No, I had that real question myself.
So I guess this isn't really a no, it's more of a come back and see us after the event happens and come back and give the city council some feedback on what really happened and how successful it really was.
With some line items on where the money's where they're spending the money.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's not the first time this direction has been taken.
Okay. As long as it's
and by then, hopefully, the form will be redone.
Right.
Am I excited about the event? Don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think we all are. I just think that we need some history to back it up before we start approving requests a second year for something that hasn't happened yet.
Right. Yeah, if it's not organized well, if it's not done well, then we have no recourse.
Well, it disturbs me a little bit because when we gave them the 25, we said, come back with some numbers.
Yeah, and they
haven't done it.
Yeah. Well, and unfortunately, I think they're just, since it really hasn't happened yet.
Right.
It's kind of hard for them to formulate. I mean, I'm sure they have some numbers, but they don't have everything, right? Because they just haven't done it yet. And I hate to say, you know, you think it's a great idea, but when it really happens, that's when you know, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So.
Is there some kind of mechanism to kick back these requests that don't have a lot of detailed support for them? I mean,
that's
you can send it back and say, do it again, please, or...
Well, I think that's where the revamping of the form comes in.
We've got revamping the form.
We
can't. I mean, they can come back anytime and write in a request.
Yeah, there isn't really a standard operating procedure or protocol. I mean, really, we just inherited that form. And Holly and I have already set some time to revamp the forms. And I think we're actually going to create two forms. We're going to create one that's specifically for this time of year at the budget committee. Yeah. And then there's also going to be a community funding request form that can be used anytime throughout the budget year.
Yeah,
and we want to piggyback or emulate basically more of like a traditional grant application where there are several thresholds, several boxes you need to check and documentation what you need to provide. And then, there's some reporting. There's some, you know, soft program evaluation of, you know, was this a good expenditure of funds and is it, and especially for the reoccurring requests, is it something we should continue to do?
And I would like to put out that this is definitely one that's going to fall in that 50-50 or unrestricted area, depending on what happens, I think. So I think it's actually better for the city council because they get a better handle on what it really is, where the funds really should come from, you know, in the long run. Mm-hmm. They'll get a better idea. So I think we can move forward. We're going to it's not a firm no, but it's a come back and see the city council after the event and discuss what happened. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So next we have, is it KNCP that came next? Was it Car Club?
Mm-hmm.
Car Club that came next? I think I throw that one off. Maybe it was
KNCP. KNCP.
The second. And they're requesting $10,000, and as Stu pointed out, they came to the city before and got some money to help with the initial investment of equipment originally, but it is there, so that's good. It's available. So I guess we entertain some conversation. I guess my perspective is $10,000 is a lot of money on the table, you know, and that puts a lot of resources out of potentially unrestricted or restricted. I mean, that's 2/3 of the budget on one of them, unless you do 50-50. So, and I don't know how you have to justify 50-50, I think, because I'm not quite sure. I mean, even though people from Russia can get it, I'm not quite sure how that really fits into bringing people here.
That's a tough
So my suggestion would be there's the funding for the equipment, which equals $2,400, and not approve operating expenses.
I'd like to see him bring in a better line item than this.
Yeah, I mean, where's the money going?
Each individual piece of equipment costs.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and what I had was here, and of course, this sounded like these were rough numbers. They said the update the tuner was $800, the new encoder was $1,200, and they needed two new switches for $200 for sure. So that was that's $2,400. And I have to say, it did sound like rough numbers because they were just saying about. You know, and I have no idea or experience with those things cost. So,
well, Brian, you're a businessman. Yeah. Would you go into a bank with something like this?
No.
Okay.
I'd have a bid. So.
A few.
So I guess.
And a spreadsheet.
Yes.
One thing that I don't like is it looks like the city is the only place they've requested funds from. You know, they need to try a little harder, reach out a little bit more.
Well, they had their ad campaign in the fall, you know, and this whole thing was just to carry them over. $10,000 is.
But that's a lot to ask for one.
I'd say maybe approve them for 25 if they come in with the bills for the equipment.
Or proposed.
That's one way to do it. Certainly say up to a certain amount for equipment, provided you bring invoices.
I don't want to lose the station at all.
Yeah.
Right.
We don't want to lose it.
Right.
So, and if they need more, and if they can prove they need more, they can come back.
When we want to keep that programming going with the schools and the involvement in the sports and everything. But they just need that equipment for that. Most of the announcers are all, they're all volunteers. So I also, that $2,500 on equipment and getting receipts and seeing where they're really putting it.
So am I hearing from most people that they prefer to allocate a certain amount based on an actual bid or invoice for the equipment?
You know, one thing, I don't know what they've done now, but I remember when they were first getting on the air up here, they went around and asked for support. And I know I gave them a check for $100 to help us. And I'm wondering if they've reached out to the community or if they just decided that the easiest way is to come to council and let's get the city funded.
I can't tell you for sure, but I do know that every year I've donated to them when they're doing their, the sports thing. So I don't know how that fund works.
He mentioned last night that something about their advertising campaign, he would be able to raise 35,000.
Right.
$1,000.
This whole thing kind of happened quickly, I know, with the station.
So he does have.
So they haven't really.
That he'll kick into to do that, to go around to, because we do the same thing.
It would be nice to see some numbers, what support has been and what other support is projected to be, you know, what they're trying for.
When Joe came in here and talked to Corey and I, we specifically said, get some numbers together.
But it sounds to me.
And that's all they can.
It sounds to me like I get the gut feeling that they're not really sure what those numbers really look like. Sounds like maybe that was taking place down south and they're kind of guessing, like, we think it, you know, this will cost this and this will cost this. And they're kind of, in their mind, they're kind of formulating some kind of budget, you know.
Well, there's a lot of underlying stuff that they're not saying too.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
Well, if there's a lot of things they're not saying, then we should even be more cautious.
Yeah, it's like.
I mean, you think about it.
Well, yeah, good point.
If we're not getting the whole story.
The other thing is if they can raise $35,000 a year and their budget's $20,000 to $22,000, they should be a sustainable company. And, yeah.
Well, that was with both stations.
Yeah, that was both.
At the time.
Yeah. So I don't, and that's the problem is that it sounds to me like, unfortunately, they weren't really shared all the information about the budget in the past, which I hate to say, it doesn't seem like a great way to operate that not everybody has that information, but I wasn't involved, so.
Well, the guy that did it walked away.
Yeah.
With the checkbook.
Right, for months.
Left them sort of abandoned.
Right.
So I think we ought to okay $2,500 when they bring the bills.
Up to $2,500 with receipts?
With receipts.
And then work months to month.
And if they're on the verge of losing the station, come back.
Right.
So is.
Door open.
Yeah.
Is everybody okay with that consensus?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Okay, so what I'm hearing is up to $2,500, provided they bring some kind of invoice or bid, actual formal bid.
With a, and it's a focus on equipment.
On equipment. For upgrading the radio station so it'll work properly.
And tell them to get out in the public and start raising some money. I'll put some in. Yep. Everybody, you know.
And just make it noted that if they really need money to not go under, come back with some figures. And
bring a spreadsheet.
Look at it.
Yeah. Seriously.
They should have stuff. They should know that stuff. I mean, that. The very basic, they should have a handle on that. So,
yeah, right,
they'll learn quickly.
Yes. So, moving forward, we've accomplished that one. And so now we have to find the little notice page there. So, the name of the road?
Carpool.
No, Carpool.
Carpool.
Highways. in the High Lakes, the 20th year of being in business, sounds like. And this truly is, I believe, a tourism issue because they seem to bring people from all over, and so it's bringing people out of their area here. So I think this is strictly coming out of those tourism dollars and meets the qualifications. So they're asking for $2,000. Do we know what they asked for last year?
$2,000.
Okay. Yep. Did we give them $2,000 last year?
We did give them $2,000. And actually, and I actually had a discussion before the meeting, I asked her to pull last year's request, although I didn't give the information that we remembered, and both of us remembered that they upped it from the previous year from $1,500 to $2,000, specifically to put gravel at the senior center. And so I think that their previous several years had been $1,500, and I think without a specific item that they want to do additional to their regular funding, that coupled with the fact that they made a comment that they give funding to other organizations, you know, it's not that we want to give funding to an organization so they can turn around and give funding to another organization, you know, and
yeah, I thought that was kind of,
so I think we should go back down to the 1500 personally. That's my opinion.
Were they going to gravel more parking lot area there or no?
They didn't request additional for any specific project, no.
Last year they did, I think part of it was they're going to build something around the air conditioning unit for the senior center or something. That was part of the request too.
Part of their gravel was on the west side of the building,
yeah.
And I think they were planning on putting more gravel, if I understand what they told them the other day, that they wanted to put more additional gravel on the east side because they were having trouble getting people in there to park. I mean, the parking
never,
area.
We've never seen a
but
line item where we
yeah,
buy tires.
Yeah. Well, I do like see that. This right here. It says, car club trailer in need of tires.
Yeah, there was need of tires.
Yeah. I'm reading on the bottom of it, but that she didn't really specifically mention that, though. I see it here written down.
It I did like hear her say
yeah, she said it.
Yeah, she said it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my question is it, how much do the trophies really cost?
How much what?
The trophies. Mm-hmm. So it says, have requests from those sources. Our sponsors help us with trophy costs. So what if those are covered, so that's what it sounds like, right? So they go out and get businesses to sponsor the trophies, right?
I think they do, yes.
Yeah. So do they pay rent to the senior center?
No.
Or?
It's given to them free. The senior center has their restaurant open, and they get their income from whoever comes in and buys hot dogs, hamburgers, stuff
right,
like that.
Food.
So it looks primarily would be t-shirts, bags, and raffle items. And give them to the senior center, right? How much do the expenses?
I agree with Connie. I think we ought to go back to the 1500.
Yeah.
Okay. And let them know why. You know.
Yeah.
Because, and you know, I like the idea. I like that they did the graveling and everything, but that's something that helps the whole community because everyone uses the senior center. But if, you know, if they're looking for money so that they can hand it out, that was kind of unclear as to what they do with donating to other organizations. I'm not real comfortable with that.
It's big.
Well, you don't have any control. Once you give them, if they hand it out to other organizations, you don't have any control over whether it's a good idea or a bad idea.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and again, next year they're going to have to come up with some line items.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I have consensus of $1,500. Is that okay with everybody? Anybody
I'll go with that.
I'll go with that.
So we're going to give them $1,500 to help sponsor the cost of putting on the High Lakes Car Club show on the interview.
We're going to use the senior center for parking tomorrow night for the yeah, because and then it's going to run the shuttle back and forth because there's not that much parking at
so
the hospital.
So how much do we spend of unrestricted and restricted funds?
Not all that much. I'm doing my math right. Out of unrestricted, we've set aside $3,000, $500 for the Band of Brothers, and $2,500 for KNCP. And then in regards to restricted, we have just the 1500 for the High Lakes Car Club because we are asking the music department to come back later after the events over the summer, so either in the fall or the winter. So my next question would be, that leaves about $12,000 in the unrestricted, the community fund unrestricted line item, and $13,500 in the tourism promotion line item. We all know that we're going to get other requests throughout the year. And the other part that I would say is that there's nothing that stops the city from spending that money on something. So if we wanted to do something that cost $2,000 and it was tourism promotion related, we could take $2,000 out of that line item. Or if it was something community fund unrestricted related, we could take $2,000 out of that.
So we don't necessarily have to move it out of there or change it?
No. No, and that's part of why I raised it as well, was to give us some flexibility throughout the year to field requests, but then also to, if something came up that we wanted to be proactive about, we could possibly take some dollars out of there.
Well, I think we're getting a lot less requests at budget time and a lot more requests throughout the year. At least that's been the trend last year for sure.
What I wonder if it's because people don't realize or they just don't know right now.
I kind of feel like this year a lot of those things came on us up front, like the wrestling kids didn't know in March that they were going to need the money to host the wrestling event, so they had to come in September.
Right.
I feel like a lot of them were like that, where they didn't have the opportunity to come here first. I think you're seeing more of that because things are happening so fast that you don't have annual events every year. Like we always have a rodeo. We always have Frontier Days, and now we're having more sporadic events throughout the year, which is nice because it spreads it into the fall and the spring and the winter too.
Also, on that, shows how much more is happening in the community year round.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, that's good. Mm-hmm. I like that analogy. Mm-hmm.
I like the idea of having that large amount so we can give it out in a year.
Yeah.
Makes sense. Like Stu said, more and more stuff is going to be happening. I mean, I think the city ought to wait to spend any money we take out of it towards the end to see how the year goes first.
I want to request some money for fireworks for our flagpole dedication.
I don't think that's personal.
Budget committee?
Where's the form?
And I want a line item. I want
I'm waiting for Don to say something.
How much is every firecracker?
You're a day late. That was last night.
Sparklers. That's about our budget.
And you have the homes, too.
That's
so
bad.
Are these additional requests them? Do they have to go through the budget committee?
Nope.
Are they going to follow? They don't go through the budget committee.
They go through the council.
They go through the council. But then again, they're probably going to need the same kind of format for
yes.
a proposal sheet.
They're going to be vetted, just like anything else.
Yeah.
And maybe even more so because the council members may have more questions than we have.
And they might have their new forms ready.
Yeah, they might have new forms ready.
So that's going to be a priority before the new fiscal year. So we've got
while we're on the subject, when do you think you can have a new form ready?
Hopefully in the next month and a half or so, by the new fiscal year.
So whenever anybody comes, you'll be able to give them the new form.
Yes.
I'm not sure I'm totally agreeing with two separate forms, because I think it can get confusing. You're going to end up with the wrong form submitted at the wrong time versus asking the same information throughout the year, regardless of what the request is.
I have a question. I guess, go ahead.
I would just like to say that I did email each applicant, and I let them know that they were required to bring with them a line item budget. So they were informed that change was going to take place. Just for your information.
So none of them did, even though they warned them.
Yeah, unless you feed them the form, they're not going to do it.
Well, the form's revised at the top already and says that the committee now requires.
Okay.
I agree with that. I agree.
Yeah.
But they're still saying they can't come.
We probably need to provide them a physical spreadsheet.
Yeah, it needs to be a spreadsheet. It needs to be done electronically.
They can write in some item.
Right.
So, the odd thing I noticed is the Band of Brothers actually has an old form.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's how we. Yeah.
Yeah.
She came about 10 years.
Yeah, probably she did a while ago.
Well, she's on top of the gig there.
Saved him from last.
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is, when anybody from here on out requests anything, they gotta give line items in a new form.
There you go.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The line items with quotes or just line items?
Well, just to know where the money's going.
Or at least the proposal where the money's going.
Yeah, general idea.
And someone should look at it early and kick it back if it doesn't meet certain standards.
Yeah, you can't come and present this.
You gotta be a gatekeeper though.
You know, that's a start. Maybe next year we'll get more detailed.
Okay, so not their entire budget or the event's entire budget and then the line items the city dollars would go towards? Or just, you know, we're gonna pay for, you know, music in the park or whatever it is costs $10,000. We're coming to the city, we're asking for $2,000, and here's the two line items that it's paying for. You don't wanna see the other $8,000 and where that's coming from and where it's being spent on. I've heard conflicting things, so I'm just, for us to get it right and administer it correctly, we have to know what the expectation is.
Can I?
Please.
Yeah.
I feel like after beating this conversation around my head for the last 3 years, what we would build is on the form, you would have a spreadsheet and it would say the total budget for the event. Okay. How much of this was advertising? How much of this was this? How much was this for your bands? Or you have operating expenses and then at the bottom you have all other, list all other, and that's the bottom line on the budget that they spent on their event. So that all those numbers are out in the open. Because it sounds to me like that's more specifically what you guys want. You don't want them to come, well, and it worked out both ways for a long time. Like Frontier Days would come in and they'd say, we want $2,500 for a new tent. And that was specific enough for us to grant the request for a new tent.
Sure.
So it could go either way. My thought though was to request all the funds that are being spent for the whole event, and if they had something that was classified as other, list the invoice and the amount, who you paid it to and what it was for.
I don't think that's too much to ask.
No, because I think that they're getting less and less specific and more it's for our event.
Yeah.
You know.
And if you condition them to do that for 3 or 4 years, dollars. Then maybe they will come back with a more specific request. I want $2,500 for a tent. Well, then I don't need to see the whole budget. I know it's for a tent. Show me the receipt. Mm-hmm. So I feel like to start out, because you guys want this higher level of observation on them, we need to just say, hey, it's gonna have to happen every time. You're asking for $2,500, that's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's gonna take you an hour to fill out a budget, that's nothing for $2,500.
Exactly. Were you suggesting in your own form, have like a line item thing?
It would have, probably have that as a cover sheet.
That would be great, because then you're looking at the same format from everybody all the time.
Yeah.
And you can use additional paper to list your other invoices if they don't fit into advertising or operations or entertainment or the different categories that events have.
So would they also list their revenue or sources of money that comes in otherwise come in?
Like, so like for instance, like with the KNCP, they obviously go out and they do an advertising campaign. And so would that be beneficial to know what monies they're taking in, or is that not a factor, or?
Well, how much money they're taking in, how much money they need to operate.
So I mean,
I feel like it's only fair to ask for the revenue and the expenditure.
Yeah.
If you have.
Because if they're running and they have $100,000 running for the event in their bank account, they don't need the $2,500 until it's for a specific purpose.
If they have a budget, and the budget is, we'll say $35,000, and they've taken in $40,000. Why do we need to give them anything?
Well, that's what exactly what I was looking at the radio
what,
station.
Yeah.
If they make $35,000 and they're only spending $20,000 to $22,000,
yeah.
Why are we funding them?
That's right, exactly.
You know? And I get that they're in a different situation right now.
Yes.
You know,
but it's
maybe
with every other
future, sure. They're going to
none of our
right
show us something.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. That makes
well, they had
sense.
An emergency
so,
situation,
well, yeah.
So. I get that.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know. But
the city's changing, the city's growing. We just have to do things the right way, you know, and that's the right way to do things, like a grant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're giving them a grant.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So.
Well, an average that's grant is a lot more than 2 or 3 pages. So if you're getting away with throwing out 2 or 3 pages, you're still money ahead in the real grant.
Well, and I think it'll make it them more accountable to asking for money when it's needed. Because even the High Lakes Car Club, they may be a great organization, they may do great things, but if they're able to turn around and gift money to other organizations, why do they need money from us?
Right, exactly.
Just because we gave it to them in the past.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They, well, they feel entitled to it.
Yeah, one thing
kind
about...
Kind of like recycling.
One thing about our club is they give stuff in kind, too, like work and so forth. And I don't know if they figured they ought to get paid for that work through the city, but that isn't the way it works.
Right.
Is the radio station a nonprofit?
They're running, they requested the money under... They're filing under Frontier Days.
Which is shaky.
Which is
okay, Corey. Staff could just make up that form. They don't have to have it okayed by anybody.
No, we'll make it up and we'll make it up. We'll create it and then we'll when they come in, we'll vet them to a degree. But ultimately, I'm gonna say this because I say it all the time. Budget committee members don't hear that much, but when it comes before the council, I mean, the ball is in your court,
right,
to say this is sufficient, or I have more questions, or we need to see more.
Yeah.
And in my mind, it's totally your authority to do that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, the to get through the door, the bar needs to go up.
Yeah.
I get that.
Yeah.
we can easily take care of that.
Yeah. Okay. So I think we're done with discussion and decision on the community funding request. So we have nothing else in that source of funding to discuss.
When we shift into the next budget, just overall budget review, if anybody has questions or wants to review any of the other line items in the source of funding, we can go back.
Okay. So the next on our agenda is the budget committee will continue to review the budget and make appropriate actions to conclude its review process. So with that, I believe we're going to, if people have some questions, discussion on specific things in the overall budget as a general. I know some people got to hear last night from Corey how it looked and went through it. We were kind of going to take that in, soak it in a little, and try to really talk about the budget. And if there's some questions, and if we like what we saw, there's a lot of stuff there. So do you want to add anything before we start?
Does anybody have any burning questions they want to jump into? Because I do have a couple things I'd like to add or clarify, for that matter. So,
health insurance.
What's that? That's one of them. Yeah, that's one of them. There's two pieces. One is specifically the addition of a new employee that I mentioned. What we are, Jake and I have talked a lot about this, and what we're planning to create for the first time in the history of the city is essentially a position that is below public works director but above utility worker. So looking at, and I'm using this as an example because they're in the same county as us and they're a similar size city as us, in the city of Sisters, they have 9 employees in their public works department. We right now have 3. They have a public works director, they have a maintenance, an operations manager, they have a lead supervisor, then they have a utility 2, and then they have 4 utility 1s, utility 1 workers. And so talking with Jake, what we really think will be an efficiency in our department, streets, cemetery, water, sewer, across the public works department, is if we have essentially a crew supervisor or lead, some type of a lead position that's below Jake, but again, above our utility worker position. So we haven't created that job description. Ultimately, we need to find the right person. So are we gonna hire someone July 1 when this budget becomes effective? No. I would expect it hopefully by fall would be good. You know, put out a job description in the summer, late summer, see what kind of applicants we get. If we find the right person, they could be on board in the fall. So that position really is to serve that role. And I know that from what I've been, you know, part of why we hired Melissa as community development director as well is that I need to be able to hand projects, management level projects, to departmental heads. So Melissa and Jake. If Jake has to run out and be monitoring and supervising our utility workers or creating their weekly work plans or being the third person to hop in the ditch, which I know he's good at doing and happy to do, but from a organizational management perspective, that, you know, we've got $25 million water wastewater projects we need to manage. We've got streets we need to be planning for. We talked about last night, we got some work to do at the cemetery. So there's a lot that needs to be done from a management perspective, And I think creating that position is going to somewhat thread the needle and get our public works department to where it needs to be. When we have that position on board, forecasting out a few years, I don't envision us adding new utility workers every year. I mean, really, we're going to be a lean, mean, fighting machine. When we bring Cagle and Glenwood on, another 300 connections, I'm not sure, we don't know yet, that's out in 2021. But at this point, I think this position for the next few years would get us to a place that we're in really, really good shape.
So be like a foreman?
Yeah, you could call it a few different things.
Hey, Jake, not to put you on the spot, but maybe we should. So what skill set would this person have, or what training would they have that would...
I would look at this person to have knowledge in water and sewer, and to have certifications in all those fields as well. Not to be commensurate with my equal, but to have certifications in all those fields, like level one certifications, have those knowledge, have some minimum experience in the field doing those types of work, stuff like that.
But also the responsibility of being a supervisor.
Yeah.
That's the crux of it. In my mind, but it is some added knowledge as well.
I think the council at one point discussed we needed people to do maintenance, you know, not just water and sewer, maintenance. We have no maintenance people.
Maintenance of, like, the right-of-way or?
Maintenance of our facilities.
Okay.
They look like hell. I mean, I'm sorry, they do. If some sidewalks or something needs to be done,
yep,
we got to have part of their job description, maintenance.
Yeah, this person would do some of that, in my mind. Our utility workers definitely
with the help of that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I think you got to be a jack of all trades in this community.
What Public Works and the city manager need to do is come up with a job description and bring it to the council, and then the council eventually will say city manager,
right,
tell him to hire someone.
Right? And without those dollars in the budget, we can't.
Yes, but still, you're talking a year out yet.
No, we're talking
four or five months.
Well, so this budget doesn't start until July 1. And then you go August, September, October, you're in the fall. So what I was saying is, yeah, we'll probably start working on that job description. We've started working on it already in our minds. I mean, so in terms of actually formalizing it, we did with the community development director position, it will take some time. But I would hope that we, if the right person applies, that we would have them on board in the fall, winter at the latest.
But right now, all we're talking about is setting money aside.
Correct.
We aren't talking about the position.
And so you have to develop the position.
Yeah.
Okay. So you just want the money.
I just wanted to clarify, when I had mentioned a new public works employee, but I didn't talk about what we had,
well,
the thought process
know.
We put into what we expect them to do, and why we think
you don't know yet.
Key piece of the team.
So,
okay.
No, I said, do you know? I mean, it sounded like you had
I
some
I think we
kind
do know. Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part, I think we do know. Whether we can find that person,
yeah.
I don't have that answer.
You think you're going to have to look outside of who you have right now? You have to look a little farther, you think, maybe?
It depends. We put out a...
Last time we opened a position...
Utility ones and
we
twos.
Did utility two, utility one. Someone with some experience, and then entry level. We kind of opened it up for either or. If we saw somebody we really liked with some experience, we could pay them more for that. Or if we saw someone that was really well but didn't have a lot of experience, we took that opportunity and grabbed that person. That's what we ended up doing last time. We grabbed someone with a little bit of experience that fit in really well. They weren't 5 years experience, they didn't have a bunch of certs, but they're a person that could work towards that.
But
I think this is the next level up on this one.
Yes.
But the budget committee doesn't need to know that.
No, we don't. We're just allowing the money.
Yes.
We aren't discussing
yes.
what, when, where, who, why. You know?
So it sounds to me like 1.5 positions is what we're offering the whole budget increase.
Yeah, and half of that is so that Melissa has a full salary all of next fiscal year.
Yeah.
So it's really just one new employee
is
what it is. We're going from, we have 7 right now,
yeah,
FTE, to 8 FTE.
And if we don't put the money in there, you only really have half of a year's of salary in the last year's budget to actually pay for that. So, right?
We couldn't.
That's why the 1.5, right?
Yes. Yeah. Last year's budget only included 6 months of salary for a community development director, which ended up being
I guess the only question is, you've allotted enough to hire this person?
Yes.
You know, a little bit more, maybe?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, personnel's going up more than 30%, so I would say so.
Yeah. So, okay. So how much is 30% of the actual? Is it actual dollars?
That's just from budget. It's actually not even from actual. So it's even higher from actual.
And generally, we don't spend as much as we budget. Yeah. We budget a cushion in there.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind. If you look at the actual budgeted amount versus what the budgeted amount versus the actual amount for last year, which I don't know off the top of my head, but I would assume the actuals are significantly less.
Yeah.
The personnel services. Well, we don't have actuals we only have actual up to this point, up to March for personnel. Yeah, year to date. But we had 491,456 budgeted for last year, and this year we have 642,404, which is
6% of our budget.
It's a 30% increase over last year's budget.
If
nobody's getting raises, nobody's.
We've got three components. We've got 1.5 new FTE in there from 6.5 to 8. We've got a 2.75% cost of living adjustment across the board for every employee's wage or salary. And we have the cap, the upper limit, which if you do the math on that is essentially going from $12,000 per year employee for healthcare up to $14,400. So 8 times 2,400, you know, you're at a $19,200 increase overall for healthcare. So those all added together is why that has increased so much. So,
and what is healthcare?
The healthcare piece. So the other thing that I want to make note of is that the change from healthcare in the proposed budget of it saying $1,000 per employee to $1,200 per employee does not mean that that's what. That doesn't imply what our healthcare policy is. When you really dive into the world of healthcare, especially through public entities, there are at least 50, if not more, ways to provide healthcare services. The reason why I included that in there is that over the next month and a half, maybe 2 months at the most, I would like to, and I've been actively doing this for almost a couple months, and I still haven't came up with what I think is the right recommendation or formula, is to propose changing the way we cover healthcare. But to do that, it's gonna require an employee handbook amendment, which will go through council. And by way of example, my contract, the way it's written in there right now, says the city will not exceed $1,000 per contribution of healthcare. So by approving the budget with that number in there, you're not making any change to the healthcare coverage we provide. I've been talking to, again, I've been talking to folks, our insurance agent of record, who does this for a lot of entities. I've been talking to various cities. I've been talking to looking into, you know, look at an HSA versus a HRA VBA. There's all these elements that go into a healthcare package that I've been trying to find what's the right size, what's the right formula for us. And my thought and my plan is to come back to council in June with a recommendation on that. But ultimately, they would be the ones who would say
that explains it 100% better.
Yeah.
That's better.
Yeah.
And I just want to say I checked a few, had Colleen check a few things today. She's allotted $12,000 every year.
For healthcare?
Yeah. I mean, so it's not out of the ordinary.
I called the city of Madras.
$12,000 is $1,000 a month.
Yeah, correct.
What it is now. Yeah.
I called the city of Madras, and they have a complicated matrix of how all these things fit together, so I won't go over that. But for a family, for an employee plus a family, they budget covering $20,400 a year. So in their entire budget, they anticipate, well, we don't know, but every employee might have a family, and we need to be prepared to cover this if they do. So the amount they budget on healthcare is way more than what they actually spend on healthcare. So we have to keep that in mind as well. And historically, that's what the city has done. As we've said, we have a cap, and then most of the time, people don't hit the cap. But if you have someone come in right now who had a family and wanted to put it on our healthcare, they'd pay $800 a month out of pocket. Which if someone's looking at a job that pays $55,000 in Lapine versus $65,000 or $70,000 in Bend, and they have to factor in that they're going to take that chunk out of there, or vice versa. They're getting more salary here and less salary somewhere else, but $800 a month out of every, you know, take-home pay is getting cut out. Anyways, I think that I'm going to come and recommend to council that we make some changes. What that exactly looks like, I don't have the answer yet.
Okay, but basically for this, you've just allowed enough.
I've increased that.
Not that we're using it all.
Correct.
We're just allowing, okay. You're allowing that.
That's all that's,
just to be
that's
safe.
All that the budget needs, yes. Yes.
So is there any more questions on the payroll and slash healthcare costs, which is all included in one in the consolidated financial statement? All those costs are included in there, correct?
Right, that's just a summary part
of
it. They're all
and
separate.
You can see it in the individual fund.
In the individual funds,
Is that I guess the question for us is, any more questions, and is that the right number, right? I mean, that's the question, right?
That's fair.
I will say it's hard to really see when you start looking, because when you start looking through the different funds, it breaks all that payroll up, and so it's really hard to see it, but...
Yeah, no, I get that, and I not that we wouldn't share it, but we could do that, but at some point too, I wonder what level of granularity do all of you need or want? You know, because I, again, talking with in Madras, I go, so she goes, oh, let me pull up my personal spreadsheet, and I go, oh yeah, great. I go, so hey, I got a quick question. Do you share that with your budget committee? She goes, no, we don't get into that level of detail. You know, it's more these categories, it's more the FTEs, it's more the big picture, and why I mentioned quickly, and I think we're going to continue to mention it, and I think all of you can be proud of this, is that we spend a very small percentage of our overall city budget on personnel. The City of Sisters has 20 employees, and their budget's about twice our size, and they don't have that many more population. They got quite a bit more commercial activity and an airport and things like that, but they don't have fire, they don't have police, they don't have any services, they don't provide any different services or more services than we do, make twice as many things.
They contract for all those.
Just like we do,
Engineers have the same engineers. They have streets more so than we do.
They do have more streets than we do, that's true.
They do.
And they're always in the hole.
But you can't complain about us not maintaining stuff and then not want to hire somebody new. So it's a chicken and an egg thing of, you know, we're not going to go out and hire five people just to hire five people. But if we're saying, hey, we've thought about this, you know, not only thought about it, we've experienced it for the last 2 years together, and we've seen this has worked well. Yeah, we got to wear a lot of different hats. We know that. That's part of the fun. That's part of the challenge. But at some point, you go, this is too much.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we hired a full-time community volunteer. And that's why we think we need to hire a foreman or a lead supervisor.
Well, so and that's the full-time community development manager is something that we always knew the city would be. We've been working towards that for years. Mm-hmm. It's something we wanted down here.
And the city's growing, so we expect more.
So it sounds to me like, even with the supervisor's position, that round numbers, you're probably looking at that $70,000 range or something like
for
that.
For salary?
In benefits, both.
Oh, at least. Yeah, probably closer to 80 or more than 80 when
so
you
if
start
we
were,
adding
so
up. So if you guys are just like, well, what would that look like? Maybe 80,000 more?
At least.
That's included in that.
Healthcare and
benefits.
Yeah, benefits and wages.
Right.
Yes, yeah,
so
that's all included. And workers' comp. City has to pay workers' comp, FICA,
right.
Social Security. I mean, all the things that we have to pay on top as well as an employer, payroll, taxes.
Okay. So is everybody okay with that? I mean, is that number seem adequate?
Yep.
Okay.
So those are the two things that I did want to clarify, and I got the sense that all of you wanted some clarity on that, so that worked out perfect. Happy to answer any fund, any line item?
The tourism, I see the transfer out on tourism of 40,000. I see it going into the general fund.
Yeah.
I see every year there's 30,000, 33,000, 35,000.
Yeah.
Why does that come out of the tourism fund into general fund?
So basically what we're doing is we're taking about 30% of our TRT revenue, and
right.
We're transferring that into the general fund,
okay.
So we can have more flexibility with how we spend that. The 70% is needed; it has to be spent on tourism activities.
Right.
So we just keep that in the tourism fund. You know, we could do it differently, but we feel like that's the cleanest way. In general, we try to put dollars that we want the most flexibility with into the general fund, mm-hmm. And then every other fund we. To the best of our ability, or almost completely keep it focused on water, sewer, streets, tourism-related activities. Mm-hmm. So That's just us saying that we want to use some of those dollars in the general fund.
And by law, 39% can be taken out of that, correct?
I think it's 30.
30. It's 30%.
So we essentially take that max and move it into.
Is there any, I just wasn't understanding why that instead of just doing things that were tourist related, or, I mean, the fireworks come out of the city budget?
No, those come out of who does that? Frontier Days?
Oh, that's Frontier, okay.
I guess I think about it that, you know, I mean, tourism money also come to the city for keeping the city in shape too, not just for tourism related activities.
Right.
So that's why 30% is allowed for other city uses.
Well, part of it is to pay for all of the staff for managing those funds.
Oh,
you know,
yeah. You read my mind, Kitty. That's
everything that the city does costs. It costs in personnel. It costs in the space you have to have. And, you know, everything.
We don't.
It just seems like we have a lot of funds.
Yeah, you know how many persons have, but there's a cost of personnel doing the function.
Correct. Yeah. Whether I'm talking with Ann or someone else or whatever it may be, or someone else, you know, we're doing a tourism related activity. We don't get down and try to say we're gonna take this percentage and put it towards our payroll. I think it's more.
But you know what happens.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just to kind of
compensate. But it's there by law to cover that, to cover the administrative aspect of those funds.
Yeah.
And just, you know,
in the city of Bend, they're filling potholes with that money, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've tried to really
open
up. Well, what they've tried to do is not that money. They've tried to use the 70% that's TRT related.
That's our thing. Yeah,
that's all I know.
Yeah, the Oregon Lodging Association was challenging how their interpretation of that, because they're trying to say, well, hey, we have so many, and you know, they kind of have an argument to a degree depending on how you look at it. They say, well, so many tourists come into our city, they use our sidewalks, they use our roads, why can't we use any of those dollars to help support that?
But aren't they also paying fuel taxes?
No, they
didn't pass it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
all
that's
Sisters,
right?
In Zip Oregon has it?
Sisters definitely has one. I don't know if Redmond does or not.
Okay.
But they're spending their money in the community.
That's
taxes,
true. You're right.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it. What I would expect over in the tourism fund is that we will start to spend more money out of that fund. By way of example, you know, we took a good $40,000-ish and put it towards the monument sign.
Right.
There could be other signage or larger capital projects where we spend those funds. And then if the tourism fund starts to contract a little bit, maybe we do have that conversation of saying, well, let's keep that extra, whatever it is, 30% in the tourism fund if we want to spend it there. Or you transfer it to the general fund and then you just spend it on tourism out of the general fund. You can even do that way as well.
Yeah. So you did use that toward the flagpole.
Yes, quite a bit.
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a tourist thing.
Yeah. It should be.
Well, the city, it's very, for the city as well, the citizens.
So does anybody have any other questions on the tourism budget or another budget?
I think staff has done a great job on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I like the details in the front. And I know Ashley's done a lot of work on it. Let's not just give all the credit to Corey or Everybody has. Let's put it that way.
It's part of her new responsibility.
Yeah, I know.
Team effort.
Making the big bucks.
That's well written.
Yeah, I think they've done a great job. I've gone through all these light items. I mean, most everything's cut and dry.
Yeah, there's nothing to argue about, really.
Yeah, there's really nothing you can argue with that.
The due diligence
has been
done. Sewer
and water is going to go haywire for the next 2 or 3 years.
And I do think the staff has more challenges coming ahead. Some of these increases they've been receiving that have allowed to kind of expand things is going to come to an end here, and they're going to have to make harder decisions as things grow in cost. And maybe the staff, maybe the city council might have hard decisions too. You know, finding out what things really kind of cost in the future. I know that it's always a battle to try to determine what things are going to cost in the future to replace. So.
One of the things that I'll add a couple pieces just for reminders, which I think are really good to keep in mind, are that a large proportion, almost half of the funds in this entire budget are set aside. They're not even planned to be spent next fiscal year. They're reserves for the future. And then also, you know, right now things are busy and there's a lot going on in the community, and it wouldn't be us imagining things to do, but we could probably add not just one employee, we could maybe add a second. But at the same time, we've always exercised restraint, we'll continue to exercise restraint, because yeah, things are good right now, things are going well. We don't know what's around the corner in 2019 or 2020. So what you don't want to do is you don't want to expand and have to then deal with all this stuff. And then if the economy contracts, then you have someone who's sitting around at City Hall with nothing to do. And then you end up laying people off. It's not ideal. So I promise you, we're running lean, and we're getting the job done. We try to find that balance. And I think given what we've done over the last couple of years and what we will plan to do next fiscal year, I think we'll be hitting the sweet spot. I'm optimistic.
So is that all the discussion on the budget tonight?
So say if we have to buy mitigation credits for water, we can just take that out.
He had to get difficult, didn't he?
Yeah, well, it's going to, we're hoping that comes about.
Yeah.
So that'll just come out of a general fund or a credit of time?
We could take it out of the general fund. We would ideally take it out of the water fund.
Right.
One thing that I think we need to do, and part of the work that we're doing with that contract with GSI, we talked about that contract about a month and a half ago. It's Adam Sussman in particular. They're looking at the city's water situation in regards to what do we have for rights and what do we have for mitigation credits to legally access those rights. And at the end of that, I would expect us to have a clearer sense on what our long-term plan needs to be. And when we know that, we can say, okay, we're good for 5 years or 10 years, but when that 5 or 10 years comes, we need X amount of money sitting there. So we better start saving, or we better find a way to make sure that when we get to that point, we have the money we need.
So maybe next year's budget.
Yeah.
I would say so, yes. Okay. Yeah.
For some of you that maybe haven't been around for a while, and some of us hadn't been involved in the water district, they've been trying to get water rights and mitigation for a long time, and it's been an uphill battle, honestly. If we could have bought some 10 years ago, I know we would have. But
yeah, they would have been cheaper too.
But they were hard to find in, and the state's controlling them so much that it is a huge process and to get those things. And if you buy them privately, they're very expensive. So
yeah, the city's been working with that stuff and dealing with it.
Yeah. We're only offshoring those, buying them privately.
They don't like market.
And I tell you, the water board became part of the city, tried hard to buy some water rights.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some money, and even with money in our pocket, we couldn't accomplish it.
Right.
You know?
There's none available right now.
And I hate to say it, it feels to me like the state of Oregon sometimes is not very helpful in those matters. I don't understand it, but
municipalities have a really hard time, and we're a fraction of the overall water usage too. I mean,
yeah.
If you look at ag and other things, we're a very small piece of the pie. Yeah, it's interesting. It's a challenge. I mean, it's definitely on our radar. I mean, you'll hear us say it all the time, and Jake, I know, gets excited when I say it, is that, you know, water and sewer are our main services. Those are essential services. The school's not open, you know, the senior center's not open, businesses aren't open if we don't have that. So that will continue to be our highest priority, where we invest and reserve the bulk of our dollars, which is what we do. So, yeah, more to come. Always a project around the corner.
So at this time, if we have no further questions or conversation on the budget, I think we need to prove it. Is that correct?
We've got item six.
Oh,
yeah,
let's
step through that process.
Okay. That's something that we're going to get. You're going to show that, or is that?
If you just open the public hearing, I'll give a brief.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like to open the hearing on receiving state share revenues in anticipation of City Council adoption of a budget on June 13th, 2018. And so we'd like to open that up at this time. So we have a staff report, is that correct?
Yes, I'll give a very brief staff report. So as you've seen in the budget, we have our proposed revenue sources from the state. There are five state shared revenues: cigarette taxes, liquor taxes, gas taxes, state shared revenue taxes, and then also a 911 tax. We receive four of those, to our knowledge. We don't receive the 911 tax, as we shouldn't. And in regards to liquor, cigarette tax, and, well, I definitely call it marijuana.
Marijuana.
As of
marijuana.
This past year. Yeah.
I think it's most important.
Marijuana as of this past year. So cigarette, liquor, state shared revenue in marijuana all go into the general fund?
As well as the fuel tax.
Which one?
The fuel tax.
The gas tax goes
into the streets fund, but we still have to declare it in this hearing.
You're jumping ahead.
No, I'm kidding. I appreciate you mentioning that.
I still want one for the one.
No, no, I appreciate that. I'm kidding. So all of those funds that go in the general fund are used on miscellaneous items in city administration in the general fund. We don't allocate these $20,000 to that $20,000. It just all goes in there to balance out. And same for the gas tax. It goes in the streets fund, and that is actually one of our main revenue sources other than franchise fees for supporting the street fund. So whether that's reserving for future capital, future roads, or whether that's existing street maintenance, sidewalks, other projects, it just goes into the streets fund to support our streets department. So that's the gist of it in terms of detail.
So this was specifically regarding estate shed revenue. So I'd like to open it up to public comment this time, if there's any public comment out there.
Not right now.
Okay. So with that, we will close public comments, and we'd like to go into deliberations for you guys. So would you guys like to know any more? Would you like to discuss it or know any more about the shared revenues, state shared revenues that the city receives?
Yeah, we've already done it.
Yeah, done.
That just goes into general.
Yeah, it goes into
general fund. Yeah.
So. That's correct. It goes in the general fund.
Yep. Yes, outside of the gas tax.
I just think it's amusing that every year, every city has to do this. Who's going to say no?
Right. That's what I'm trying to think of a way to do it, just so I can do some discourse.
In theory, yeah. If we didn't articulate and just at least open it up for a brief discussion, then
you know we want to pay the money, but we don't want any of it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Exactly. Well, the marijuana tax is actually a local tax, not a
there's
state.
Two components.
Oh, the OLCC one. Okay.
There is a state component that municipalities. I forgot the breakdown of the pie. Most of it goes to education and public
That's
safety,
right. Okay.
But some of it does go to cities.
Yeah,
I think it's 5% overall. It's not much.
Of the 17%.
So, with no further deliberation, I would look to close this public hearing. Do we need to make a motion because it's actually
no, I'm just closing the vote.
I make a motion to accept and receive state shared revenues.
I second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Oh, I think we need a roll call vote. Actually.
Do we?
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'd like to start to my right with a roll call vote.
Colin Breeze, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
John Cameron, aye.
Frank Schultz, aye.
Dennis Scott, aye.
Kitty Shields, aye.
Michael Harper, aye.
Don Greiner, aye.
Brian Earls, aye.
Got it.
Okay. And so that passes. And so we're going to request the state shared revenues this year. So at this time, we can close the public hearing, number 6. And we'd like to move on to agenda item number 7. That's a budget approval. So we've had discussion. We've talked about different things. And now it's a time for us to approve the budget to pass it along to the City Council for a final approval.
I make a motion that we approve and forward the budget documents to the Lapine City Council for review and to approve a property tax rate that was submitted to the county assessors.
Do we need a roll call as well?
Sure.
Okay. So I'd like to begin to my right. With
I think we need a second.
You need
first.
A second.
Or a second.
I'll
we
second.
A second. Okay. And begin with Connie on my record. Roll call.
Connie Breeze, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
And John Cameron, aye.
Frank Schultz, aye.
Don Scott, aye.
Kitty Shields, aye.
Michael Harper, aye.
Don Greiner, aye.
Brian Earls, aye.
Oh,
so
aye.
It passed?
Perfect.
Okay. So the budget will be passed to the City Council for final approval. Thank you for your guys' service. We can't do it without community members coming in here and taking part in this. And it's also great for the staff to have you guys' input, and it helps them think about what they're going to do in the future. So with that, I'd like to adjourn the meeting tonight and announce to go home.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Any in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Nay.
You can stay here.
Buddy, you are outvoted. Sorry.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to be on the committee. I appreciate it.